Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Brenton.
We're in a series still called Better Together because we just believe, man, God put us in a body because we're better together. Amen. And today I want to talk about better together to build His kingdom. When we are combining our efforts, we're going to just go further. There's no doubt about it. And we see this all throughout the Bible. In Ecclesiastes 4:9, it says, two are better off than one because they can work together more effectively. Right? You got double the power with two. And all throughout the Bible, you see powerful testimonies of unity. It's interesting because actually, the power of unity is there to build something for ourselves or actually to build something for God. And in Genesis 11, you see mankind, they're actually rallying around a cause that's not really good. It says in Genesis 11:4, it says, then they said, come, let's build a city and a tower with its top, the heavens. Let's make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they're one people, and they have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do, and anything they propose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from all over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. It's wild because at Pentecost, you pretty much see the exact reversal of this. In the Tower of Babel, you have man saying, hey, let's cook some bricks thoroughly and let's build this awesome city and a name for ourselves. But how many of you know that we can't build anything that lasts, right? Anything that you build and of your own power, it will crumble. If God would have let them build that tower, it wouldn't be standing really here today, or the kingdom wouldn't be standing. But in Pentecost, you see God pouring out His Spirit and building His church. And in Acts 2:4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. See, now God's actually bringing their languages together. It's wild. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. And here what you have is the establishing of God's church, God building His kingdom. And the Holy Spirit is now being poured out, bringing us together in purpose, bringing us together in unity to establish His kingdom here on earth. And of the increase of His kingdom, there will be no end. Amen? So what you have here is the local church. You see they have that all the believers were together and had everything in common. They were locked in, even though you had the powerful Roman Empire persecuting them. Nothing could stop them. They were literally unstoppable. And the Sanhedrin, the government, nothing could stop them because the power of God was moving through their assembly. And all they could do was saying, stop that, you know? Peter, stop. Stop preaching about Jesus. And all the Christians said, nope, we're not going to stop. And you see in Acts 4:31, even though they're being threatened, they don't ask for protection. They just said, Holy Spirit, fill us so we can speak with boldness because we don't want to be afraid. We want to continue this mission. And so that happened and Christianity spread. Guess what? The Roman Empire is gone, but Christianity is going forward because God is building His church. And when we look at the Apostle Paul, he was someone that was so locked into this mission, and it's just an inspiring. In Acts 20:24, Paul says this, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others about the good news, about the wonderful grace of God. There is a work assigned to you. Amen? God has a work for you. God has created you in Christ Jesus. You're His workmanship, and He's prepared good works in advance for you to complete. No one else can prepare those works. They're your works. And so we have a part in this. We have been called on assignment. And part of Paul's ministry, especially as he constantly was being thrown in jail for preaching the word of God, was keeping the church and keeping his people on assignment. In 2 Timothy, he writes to his young protege, Timothy. This is a letter he's writing just before he's executed. And he says, "Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus." Isn't that amazing exhortation? Be strong in the grace that God gives you. Not strong in your own power, be strong in the power of the Lord. Be strong in the grace that he's going to give you. And when you're following God and you're fulfilling the mission of God, how many of you know there's a grace on your life to fulfill that? Yeah, can I see more nods? There's a grace on your life. There's empowerment there. When your mission becomes the mission that God has for you, there's a grace on your life to do more than you could do in of yourself. And that's where you can be strong. It's in the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. "You have heard me teach these things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." See, this thing needs to keep rolling, right? "Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Soldiers don't get tied up in affairs of a civilian life, for they can't please the officer who enlisted them. Paul's encouraging Timothy, "Timothy, you're on assignment. Like, you have an assignment, and that assignment needs to be the way that you live your life. That needs, you're not just here to suck air and die. Like, you're on a mission, right? So lock in." If I would give a paraphrase to this, it would be, "Tim, lock in. Lock in, man. You got an assignment. Let's lock into that." And athletes cannot win a prize unless they follow the rules, although New England Patriots, I don't know. They broke the rules. But as a rule of thumb, that is absolutely true. "And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all of these things. Always remember," I love this, "that Jesus Christ, the descendant of King David, was raised from the dead." It's like, Timothy, don't forget that. This is why we're here. This is why the gospel must go forward, because Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. "This is the good news I preach. And because I preach the good news, I'm suffering. And I've been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained." Tell your neighbor that. The word of God cannot be chained. They chained up Paul. They executed him outside of Rome. But that was not the stop of the gospel. God is building his church, and the word of God cannot be chained. "So I'm willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen." Paul's writing to Timothy, lock in, Timothy. Come on, man, we have this assignment. Let's remember these things. To the one of his first church plants in Eastern Europe, the church of Philippi, Paul writes this in his letter to them. "Only be sure to lead your lives in a manner that will be worthy of the gospel of Christ." Live your lives in a manner worthy of the gospel. Man, the gospel is so amazing that Jesus would leave heaven and lay his life down for us, taking our place, receiving the punishment that we deserve so that we may have life everlasting. Let's live our life worthy of that. "So that whether I do come and see you or remain absent, I will hear about you that you're standing firm in one spirit." It's kind of a father moment from Paul. Hey guys, I can come and visit you, or I might not make it out to you, but either way, I want to hear that, man, this is happening. This is going forward. "You're standing firm in one spirit and one purpose, with one mind, striving side by side as if in combat for the faith of the gospel." He's telling the church in Philippi, lock in, guys. Lock in. Later in Philippians, just a few verses later, it says, "Be of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose." If Paul were still alive today writing letters, I'm sure some of these things would give reminders of a church like us. Guys, lock in, right? We're together, we're united in the spirit, The same purpose. We're here to preach the word of God. This is what we're on mission to do. And each and every one of us has a part of that. Amen? That's how the body of Christ functions. It's not one person on stage talking. It's about each person seeing their place, their God-given call, and saying yes to that. All of us making ourselves available to God, saying, God, use me to build your kingdom. And what we're doing here in this church is we're just joining the work that God's doing of building his church. It's God's work. He's going to do it, and we get the privilege of joining in with that. So can we as a church, this local expression of church right here, Gospel Mission Church, can we come together with one purpose to do that? Can we? Can we come together to love our community? I've been excited just to see and hear testimonies of us doing this already. I think there's more. There's always more, right? But it's been cool to see what's happened through the community meal. Every month right now, about 100 people are attending this community meal. Most people just from the community. And in talking to Elizabeth, her and her team that cook food for this meal, obviously this is not something that Elizabeth does alone, right? It's a collaborative effort together. That would be a lot of potatoes to peel. But it's so cool to hear her heart saying, man, God's growing a love for my community. Man, that's music to my ears. And I just pray that all of us were growing in love with a heart for our community and engaging in the work that God has for us. I'm hearing testimonies in this meal of our congregation attending, and not just attending. They're loving the people there. They're loving the people there, praying for the people there. Some of these people that haven't been in church in years and years and years and years. Some of those people are being prayed for by people in our congregation. The love of Jesus is going out, and some people have then come to church here. Like, it's a really cool thing that's going on. I've been excited about the work that we're doing in our community through Pembina Valley Care Collab. What this essentially is it's a collaboration of around 5 churches so far in the community, and then a bunch of different agencies. So if you work for an agency like CFS, if you work for an agency like Regional Connections, if you're a school liaison, you have situations where people are in need quite often, right? So these agencies blast needs out, including Central Station, but the needs all go to Central Station, and then Central Station inquires a bit more, and then blasts the need out to the churches involved in Pembina Valley Care Collab. And then we as churches say, I'll take this one, I'll take this one, and we're all working together to try to fulfill these needs. There's more needs coming in our community all the time, and just powerful testimonies of the church stepping up in community to be the church. I think of a recent testimony in the last year of a lady that was escaping a domestic violence in Mexico. And she's able through just like a miracle, I'll say, to actually get passports for all her children, be able to come to Winkler and escape her situation. Then she ends up in the shelter at Genesis House, who cares for them. Genesis House then blasts, submits the need to Central Station. Central Station blasts the need to the different churches in the community. So our church got to have a part in actually paying for her tickets, the tickets for her children to come over here. WMBC had a part in caring for this lady. There's when you come as a single mom to a community and English is your maybe third language, there's so many things going on. There's brokenness, there's hardship. And a few quotes from this lady, she said, I didn't see any hope. I didn't see any hope. But now she says, my kids all feel safe and are very happy. It's a big change for us. It changed my whole life. This is the kind of work that we get to be a part of. As a church, as the churches in the region, the cool thing is our churches have a storage unit, and it's if you're a church involved with Pembina Valley Care Collab, it's like, take whatever you want. Because we're all here to build God's kingdom. Amen? This isn't about GMC, but we're an expression of building God's kingdom together. So this lady is now plugged in with the church at WMBC, where she's made a church home, and it's a beautiful thing. I can tell you, I can share stories maybe for at least an hour of different situations that I've seen our church step up in. I think of another situation of a request we got from CFS of a single mother with multiple kids. And the CFS worker and myself went into the house, and I've never seen a house like this. Never. Never seen a house that had this much mess. And it was just a single mom who was struggling, right? At some point, it was just hard for her to carry on. And we exit the house, and I'm with the CFS worker, and she asks me, "What services do you offer to help this mother?" I don't know if you know how Pembina Valley Care Collab works, but you sign up on the website, and then you get an email, and you can volunteer or not. Like, we don't have services, right? So I had to tell the CFS worker, like, we have no services. We have people in our church, volunteers. But I'll have to ask them and actually warn them the situation that they're entering, because it's not a situation that everyone can even handle, to be honest. And it touches my heart because we had a life group that says, we'll go in there every month. We had another cleaning team that said, we'll go in there every month. And we'll help be with the kids. We'll pray for the mom. We'll make food for the mom. And we'll help clean up and be a light. Unreal. Like, this is really cool. And that's you guys, being the church, each and every one of you. And we need to see that each and every one of us have some sort of part in this. And when we band together, this is where we can make a difference. Me and Dave, the other day, we went to share with 30 social workers about Pembina Valley Care Collab and how they can submit their own requests. And one of them pulled me aside and thanked us for the help that we gave to this mom in need. But another thing that happened during that meeting is one of the social workers asked me this question. It's great that we're giving physical needs to these families, like beds and all kinds of stuff, and we have many, many people that are involved in doing all of that. We have George, a retired man, making bed frames like an assembly line. It's wild. Triple E has been helping out with giving mattresses. Some of you have been involved with that. It's beautiful. But the community, the social worker asked me, can there also be a possibility to have a relational connection with these people? You're asking the church that we can have a relational connection with those that are broken and needy and just in help? What do you think my answer was? I hope so, right? Man, yeah, what an opportunity, right? I had to tell her, just by the way, though, when we give furniture, we can't just arrive and say, can we be best friends, right? Like, there has to be that openness. But there, I can think of four situations where there's ongoing relationships with these people that we've helped, with people from our church, people walking with these people. Because yeah, we don't want to just dump some furniture off and say, bless you. If there's an opportunity to continue to walk with these people, what an amazing opportunity. And I pray us as a church that we would get involved with this. If you're not signed up for the email, do it right now, because there's good work happening there. And there's so many opportunities to get involved. This pumps me up. And I think this is fulfilling the role of what God wants us to do in the community. Look what Psalms 82 says. Give justice to the weak and fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the weak and needy and deliver them from the hand of the wicked. This is Father God's heart. Amen. The Bible is riddled with verses like this because this is the heart of a father that wants us to actually be his body, the body of Christ working. Look what James 1:27 says. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this. Well, we should listen, right? That's a pretty big statement. Do we want to have a religion that God, our Father, accepts? Yeah, okay, I'm listening, James. To look after the orphan and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. To me, it's kind of like, yeah, be the salt and be the light. Be different and set apart and holy before God and be the light of the world. I went to a conference recently, and they asked the question, if your church was removed from your community, would your community know? Whew. Big question. Imagine if this building stayed up, nice and big and shiny, but all of us, our ministry in our jobs, in our workplaces, Pembina Valley Care Club, you shut that ministry all down, would the community notice? Man, my prayer is, yeah, they would notice, right? We've got work to do in loving our community, and it's been cool to see that us coming together, we're better together in doing this. And man, there's work to be done. People are coming from all around the world, and we get this opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So can we come together for that, to love our community? Awesome. Let's come together in mission to make disciples. Jesus said, this is the Great Commission, we all know this. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go. Because I have all authority, you're commissioned here. And go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. You know, this verse doesn't say, surely I'm with you always. Like, whose name is Shirley in the building here? Anyone? Any Shirleys? If your name is Shirley here this morning, God is with you. Doesn't say that. It says, surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And the very end of the age, we're not there yet. So this is written to us. When we look at the Great Commission, he has the authority. He has commissioned us, and he is with us. Doesn't that change the ball game? Guys, this is God's church that he's building. We get to be a part of it. We get to be part of lasting something. We could come together and say, let's make a name for ourselves and build a tower that's going to crumble and lead to nothing. Or we can come together to build God's eternal kingdom that he's commissioned us to build. Amen? And so what we need to do is we need to pass on the faith, discipling each other from young to old. I remember I had a meeting once when I was leading young adults, and I asked someone who is not old but slightly more seasoned to be a young adults leader. Because man, like you old people, you've learned from your mistakes. Us young people need to learn not to make the same mistakes, right? I'm joking, but you guys have a lot of wisdom. You have a lot to offer to the younger generation. And so I asked Mary, would you consider being a young adult life group leader? You could tell when someone's really struggling with that idea, right? I could tell that this was a bit overwhelming for her. So I asked her, Mary, can you give me just a little bit of a text as to what was going through your mind when I was asking you to step up and disciple young adults? And this is what she said. I was mind-boggled as to how you came up with such an idea. No joke, word for word. And then she said, I was so overwhelmed and felt so unqualified. How many of you have felt that way before when it comes to the call of God in your life? I think we could all have a shirt. Like, I feel that way all the time. Overwhelmed, underqualified. And then she said this, I chose to believe Hebrews 13, 21. So we're gonna read Hebrews. We're gonna start at verse 20, because this is good. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Is that amazing? Guys, the enemy will try to convince us, man, no, you're not involved in this work. You're not involved in this work. But guys, this is God building his church. This is God putting his Holy Spirit in us. This is God empowering us. So this is it. Can we choose to believe that God will equip us with everything good for doing his will? This is what I need to choose to believe. This is what you need to choose to believe. And we need to get busy building the kingdom of God. God's not laying anyone off. God's hiring people right now for the kingdom of God. So can we get involved with discipling each other? Can we get involved in the need to share our faith in this community? In a few weeks, we're having a baptism with over 40 people getting baptized. Awesome. God's building his church, and I got to sit down with one of those people getting baptized. He's a man who hadn't stepped in a church in over 30 years. He'd only been in church as a young boy, and at that point, he was kind of forced to by his parents. He said he never really Like he never really connected with God, but those things never left him. And the Holy Spirit brought him, really brought him back to faith in God. But then all of a sudden, he didn't know where to go to church. So this young man named Caden, there you are, he's pumped about his faith. And he's sharing his faith in a gym locker room and sharing his testimony of what he's seen God done in his life. Well, Donovan hears the story, and then Caden invites him to Gospel Mission Church, and now he's getting baptized. How cool is that? God's moving. But I want to let you know, evangelism isn't for young people that are excited coming back from YWAM. That's not who evangelism for and is sharing their faith. There's a lady named Lena in our church, a young grandma, and just, I want to say, watch out. She's praying for everyone. Like, I'm hearing stories all over of Lena just being led by the Holy Spirit and being bold, being loving, and it's incredible to see how God is using her to share her faith. But these are the kind of things that we, I want to be a church filled with these kind of people, and we all have our own mission. Right? We all have our own work. So what is it? Let's lock in and let's do what it says in Hebrews 10. Let's consider how we may spur on each other towards love and good deeds. That was a mission of the early church, spurring each other on towards love and good deeds. Hey guys, we're on mission here as we see the day approaching. Right? We have this opportunity. We have this maybe 80 years, maybe 70 years, 60, 50, 40. I don't know how long you're going to live, but you have the short opportunity to build your own tower that's going to crumble, or to be a part of building God's eternal kingdom. And God is doing this work. Amen? God is doing his work through his people. Our logo is a wave. I don't know if you knew that. It's on this coffee cup. A smile for the camera. But the water is a representation of God's presence, right? We come alive in God's presence. And but to me, the wave is just the symbol that there's a movement of the Spirit. There's a movement of the Spirit in building his church. There's a commitment that the Spirit has in building his church. And there's a wave. How many of you have ever surfed before? If you're surfing, what you do is you sit on a surfboard, makes sense, in water, and then waves pass you by. But what you need to do is you need to start paddling when you see a wave coming. And all of a sudden, when you start paddling, you feel that the wave is starting to take you. And then the goal is to stand up on your feet. It's not as easy as it sounds. And that wave carries you forward. This is how I see each and every one of our assignment. Guys, God is moving. The Holy Spirit is moving on your life. He has set you apart. He literally has a grace on your life that he wants you to flow in so that you can build his kingdom. Don't let the waves just pass you by. Start paddling. Start making yourself available to God, and you'll be caught by the wind of the Spirit. And it's because we're joining the work that he's doing. It's him that's equipping us. Amen? Awesome. Let's stand to our feet. I want to read one more testimony from someone who's at the service here. Milena, it's from Go Evangelism, and this is what she shared about just her heart, how God has been moving in her heart. She says, the summer of 2020, Pastor Brenton announced that he would be leading a course called Go Evangelism. I was excited to learn more as I wanted to be able to share the love of Jesus with other people and for God to use me to help people around me. I needed some tools to help me. One of the questions that we were challenged to ask ourselves was, what do you have in your hands? And we were also challenged to ask God to give us a love for the people around us. Listen to this. I remember driving around the community praying for God to do that, to give me his love for the people in my community. And I also remember when I challenged myself with that question, what do I have in my hands? This led her to get involved with her community. She's now serving at YFC Carmen. She's serving Grow Here, discipling young people. She goes on to say, asking God to give me a love for my community the youth that I serve and those around me has become a regular part of my day. And I know I can lean on His help to see people through His eyes when the situation is tough. God is so good. Can we do that, guys? God has an assignment for you. Lock in. Can I say that? Can I say that again? Lock in. Start with prayer. Start with saying, God, I'm available. God, I have no idea the assignment you have for me, but I'm willing. Holy Spirit, empower me. If you feel overwhelmed and underqualified, can you believe that He'll equip you with everything good for doing His will? Can you believe that He will work in us to do what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ? Amen. Just invite you to stretch your hands out before you. God, thank you for this work that we get invited. God, thank you that we've been chosen to be used by you. And God, the enemy wants to trap us in so many lies to say we're disqualified. Or the enemy wants us to look at our own efforts and talents and say, what do I have to offer? You want us to believe that the Spirit of the living God is inside of us. You want us to be available for to be used by the Holy Spirit, where you can use us in this community and in this nation. God, I pray that with one mind and one purpose, we would strive side by side for the faith of the gospel, because we believe that this is the good news, and we believe that our life isn't worth much to build our own tower, but it's worth a lot when we come together as a people to build the kingdom that you will establish here on earth. So Holy Spirit, fill us. Empower us, and thank you that as we step out of our comfort zones, we will see your Spirit empower us. We will see your Spirit use our feeble little efforts to build your kingdom that you're building. May we get involved with this, God, this good work that you're doing. And may all of us see our part. GMC is not about a couple people doing your work. It's about everyone stepping up and seeing their individual assignment and coming together to see your kingdom here on earth be built. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.